Ma'am, how have you been? Well?
Yes, very well. And we're out of Springfield, and I'm headed into your neck of the woods here.
You know, and I'll tell you, this issue with Carol, something that I've been watching very, very closely, and I watched the story, but very little changes. I've almost wondered, Speaker Redonio, now that you're going down, if you may not be one of the highest-ranking individuals to go down there in an attempt to understand what's going on and address it.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, because from what I've heard, the situation is pretty severe, and the need is extremely great. Unfortunately, you know, for many people in the state, it's not the most convenient place to get to, which may explain why people haven't seen it. But I do think for elected officials actually being able to see and experience and visit places makes a huge difference.
And really, there's also another subtext to this for the southern, we'll call it southern half, or to be more accurate, what I know is south of 64, is that
right. Many
southern Illinoisans feel like they're, you know, forgotten.
Yeah, and that's very unfortunate. I think that's a function of the fact that, you know, a lot of the population is, as you know, in the northeast corner of the state, and it takes a while to drive anytime you're going several hundred miles. So I hope they don't feel that way all the time. Certainly the representatives that represent you in Springfield bring the concerns forward. We are very excited to have Dale Fowler in our caucus now. And as a new senator, he has sort of a surge of energy and earnestness, which I think will serve the district very, very well.
And I think a level of compassion that sometimes, you know, because we have Senator Christine Redonio, Republican leader, is joining us this morning. Because you see, Dale, I think he's got a lot of empathy and understanding for the situation that we find ourselves in. Because I think we've almost developed this policy here in the United States, and a state and federal level, and a lot of different policies that simply say it sucks to be you. Isn't that too bad? And I think that type of attitude that we see manifest itself in various ways, it's embarrassing.
Yes, it definitely is. But Dale does not have that attitude. I mean, you know, your new senator, Senator Fowler, he's only been a short time, and he's brought people from the district to Springfield, and now he's got me here, and hopefully this won't be my last trip. As you know, it's not my first either. So.
Yes, I know. We've had you in the studio here, too, and I always appreciate your effort to reach out to us when you come here to Southern Illinois, because you've been a very busy person recently. The Caro incident, though, there's and I don't know if irony maybe is the right word, and I hope maybe you can help me find the right word, is when if government caught a private person doing this, a landowner, a slumlord, or whatever appropriate word would be used, the government would go after them tooth and nail. But when the government perpetuates that, it's and everybody, it's like it's this hot flaming bag that nobody wants to touch, and they don't want to look at it because they're afraid they'll get it on them. And as a result, nothing is done to address the very real issue.
Correct. And I need to sort of sort out exactly what the options are before, obviously, anything can be done. And I'm not suggesting that my one visit is going to solve the problem, but I think the more eyes that are on it, the more heads put together to think about what the options are, the better off we'll be, for sure.
Well, I think some of the timing couldn't be worse when you see that the proposed Republican budget in D.C. is to cut HUD by $6 billion. You're thinking, oh, well, we didn't see that one coming, but maybe Mr. Carson will show up here and get an understanding this should be a priority issue with what's left.
Yes, and he would be a wonderful visitor to have, for sure. This one, Caro, should be a priority.
You know, there's one idea that I've had. When you look at the population census figures and you see how many people have left, that there's approximately 2,500 residents, there are many, many homes. Can't we find existing homes that don't have people living in them, put these people in those homes that are better than the areas they are, reduce our overhead because they're empty homes. And then do with what has to be done, the existing housing facilities, because there are buku empty homes. There are places to put these folks that do not leave them in these. When you have to walk around the edge of your bed with a can of Raid to spray the cockroaches so they don't crawl on your children while they're sleeping, that we can do better than that. And anybody who doesn't think we can do better than that needs to change their bar for standards of acceptable behavior.
Well, I agree. In fact, at dinner last night, we had dinner in Marion, and Senator Fowler and I were talking about the problem there, and he said that he had loaded up his car with some airtight plastic containers because one of the residents that he's met with said they need those to keep the roaches out of their clothes.
Yes.
You know, that is just unacceptable.
Right.
Unacceptable.
And we have a responsibility.
To your point about the other housing, that's an interesting point. I don't know the condition of the other housing. Unfortunately, government is not always really nimble in terms of looking at alternatives, but that would certainly be something to take a look at.
I would bet yesterday when you started hearing about the Republican budget, I alluded to the HUD $6 billion in cuts, that once people had gleaned through that Republican budget, learning that Illinois was at the risk of losing $400 billion in Medicaid funds over 10 years, that is a jarring number.
Well, especially given the situation that the state budget is in right now. I mean, we need more, not less help. And as you allude to, that would be through removing some of the Medicaid funds that are currently flowing into Illinois. So just as we have the need increasing, and I saw with unemployment figures that unemployment has increased everywhere outside of the Chicago area, we are threatened with potentially less funding from the Fed.
Yeah, and when you look at that issue, of course, it's not written in stone. It's just we're reading tea leaves at this point, and then I think that I know there was some looking at that. No, that was the Affordable Care Act Republican replacement plan came out of committee with one vote ahead just to get it through. There's nothing
right.
been done on the budget yet in committees. This is just really, I think they're rolling this out to see if anybody salutes, Christine.
Yeah.
Didn't you get that idea too? Hey, look at this now. What are you going to say? And just getting the idea, see if it, you know, you run it up the flagpole and see if somebody salutes it in Peoria.
Of course. And that's what we, you know, oftentimes that's how ideas, you know, begin to make the rounds and get shaped and changed. So the fact that it was mentioned is, you know, we need to keep an eye on it. It doesn't mean it's going to happen for sure.
Do you think, I mean, is that kind of what your idea and John Cullerton's idea was? To say, look, we're going to intercede here in the Senate right now. We're going to take the initiative, and then we're going to make some plans, and we're going to share them with you, and then we're going to run them up the flagpole and see if you salute them. Was that your idea in the grand bargain?
It is very much what we had in mind. I mean, both the Senate President and myself realized that our product is certainly not going to be the final product. I mean, it's got to be something that can pass muster in the House and something the governor feels comfortable signing, which means, you know, we tried to put together the ideas that had components we thought were important all the way around. Particularly, the governor has made it very clear he wants to see economic development, job creation, and sustainability. Systemic changes within the state, so those ideas got added. Same with the revenue package, school funding. All of them will be tweaked, but those are all important areas to people in the state.
You know, I met with SIU President Randy Dunn at this time yesterday morning, and I've never seen him quite like this. I've known him a long time, since long before he was SIU president. You know, well, you did too. I mean, remember when he ran higher education in the state of Illinois?
Right.
Yeah, because I know you've known him a long time as well. And I watched and talked to him for like 20 minutes yesterday, 25 actually. And I could see the concern. I don't know if I've got the word, but I mean, he cleared a level of consternation on his face that I had not previously witnessed.
Well, I will tell you, I mean, Southern Illinois University is struggling, but if you're looking at the faces of some of the other university presidents, you're going to see panic, not consternation.
Yes.
Some of them are on the verge of closing, and that is a huge concern. I think that just adds to the urgency of the situation here in Illinois, and hopefully we'll get people to a point where they realize they are just going to have to compromise.
You know, we were watching another one of the components because I'm 13, Senator, is that correct? 13 pieces of legislation?
13, right. Right.
That one of those involved something not far from the station, the gaming license for Walker's Bluff, which has been
right.
an item of discussion here for some months.
Yes, and that one actually has passed. It's interesting, about half of the ideas that we came up with in the grand bargain have actually passed the Senate. So, you know, we have made progress. Some of the others may be tweaked, but the gaming bill, which did include that license for Walker's Bluff, has already passed.
You understand, though, that when it comes to those tax increases, a little shudder goes out, almost like a ripple on a pond. Everybody shudders just a little.
Of course they do. Of course they do. But on the other hand, I think that, the people in this state are beginning to understand how serious our condition is, and that people are willing to pay their fair share of taxes as long as government is not abusing it and is spending the money wisely. Then I think that they're much more willing partners with us.
I call that the Luchtefeld equation.
Well, I'm honored to have Luchtefeld and I in the same sentence.
Well, I always talk to Senator Dave Luchtefeld about this for years, and the breaking point of which people will find tax increases acceptable because government has cut and shown a responsibility to them. I think you could do this in some type of math, that we reach a point where the public says, okay, I've seen you've lived up to your responsibilities when it comes to being fiscally stingy, and now I'm willing to give you more money because you've shown me goodwill.
Correct. And I think that, hopefully we're getting to that point. And I think that's why the governor has been so insistent on having reform before there's any tax increase, that the two need to go hand in hand, and that addresses that line of thinking.
What's next for you and the rest of the Senate in relationship to the budget, Senator Rodogno?
Well, the Senate is actually in our district next week. We will come back the following week and see if we can pass some of the other bills or if we need to repackage some of them. But everyone is still working, I think, cooperatively toward the end of getting a balanced budget as soon as possible.
Governor sent out a press release earlier this week saying, House, give me the authority, I'll cut the budget. He sent a press release out, and I read it, and it made me feel awkward. I felt something was going on there that I didn't understand.
Yes, actually, I had a bill. It's called the Unbalanced Budget Response Act, and what it would have done is given the governor extraordinary powers to make cuts that he currently cannot make under law. The Democrats defeated that bill in committee. I think when I presented the bill, I said, look, nobody wants this to be the final outcome, but we need to be aware that if we can't get a budget collectively, the governor is going to have the power to manage the budget that we do have.
And see, I always thought that Illinois, when it compared to other states, that Illinois governor does have already exceptional abilities when it comes to the budget as it stands. We're talking about enlarging those. Am I correct?
Oh, yes, beyond even what he has. So, the ability to move money between funds. So, for example, if we needed to get more money quickly to higher education, that could happen. There were a few funds that were protected entirely. One of them would be K-12 education, debt service. He would not be allowed to do anything with those. But otherwise, it would give him a lot more flexibility than he currently has.
I wish we had, all day. Seriously, I always enjoy talking to you. I just hope you get another opportunity to come by the studio sometime soon.
Well, thank you. I hope so, too.
I know you've got a busy day, right now we're speaking to Republican leader in the Senate, Christine Rodogno, who is in the process of heading to Carroll right now, in particular taking a look at some of the housing there, government housing, and its terrible state. It's been an ongoing story from an article written by Molly Parker here in Southern Illinois. Had her on the air recently. She's been down and shared with me some of the items there. And today, I guess we'll call this fact-finding. Learning more about what the situation is so you can find out more ways to try to help. I guess that's the short note on it, isn't it?
Absolutely. And we're also going to be looking at some property in the area that some people have the thought that could potentially be a port area for the Mississippi and Ohio River. So
we've got
a couple of things to do there.
That Port Authority legislation, I believe, was sponsored by Gary Forby.
Yes.
So I know there's some of that stuff
still
on the books.
Uncompleted.
Right.
So that's another thing that hopefully we could improve on.
All right. Jobs. And Christine Rodogno, Republican leader, Senate. Thank you so much for your time, ma'am. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Great to talk to you, Tom.